أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Lesson number 53, Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 186.
لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًى كَثِيرًا.
You will surely be tested in your possessions and in yourselves, and you will surely hear from those who were given the scripture before you, and from those who associate others with Allah, أَذًا كَثِيرًا, much abuse.
وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ.
But if you are patient and fear Allah, then indeed that is of the matters worthy of determination.
لَتُبْلَغُنَّ
is from the root letters ba, lam, waw, from the word bala. And bala yablu is to test, that is to try. And compared to the word fitna or other words of trial, the word bala is used for a trial that is very difficult. A test that is very intense, that is very difficult. Over here Allah says, لَتُبْلَغُنَّ, surely you will definitely be tested. Who? All of you, O believers. Notice the emphasis over here. Lam, which implies a qasam before it, because lam is a response to a qasam. So wallahi, by Allah, la, surely. And tubulawunna, with a definitely, noon mushaddad at the end. Meaning this is definitely going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. What? That you are definitely going to be tested. How will you be tested? Fi amwalikum wa anfusikum. In your possessions, meaning through your wealth, and also وَأَنفُسِكُمْ, in yourselves, meaning through your own body or through your own people, you will be tested. Why? Because tests and trials are a part of life. This life is not eternal. This life is a life of test. It is a time period in which the human being, in which every person is being examined. What does he do? How does he react? And that is the purpose of life. As we learn in Surah Al-Mulk, ayah number 2, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life. Why? So that he may test you as to which of you are good indeed, are best indeed in action. So this life is for a test. Therefore, this life is going to be full of tests. Tests and trials will come upon you one after the other. One problem is going to end, another is going to begin. One test will end, and another is going to begin. Because this is what life is about. We learned earlier in Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah number 35, we learn, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul is going to taste death. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And we test you with evil and with good as trial, and to us you will be returned. So this shows to us that this life is not permanent. We are here for a test. And how are we tested? Through both khayr as well as shar. Through good as well as evil. So we see that tests come to us in the form of, first of all, difficulties, trials, hardships, pain, things that causes trouble. And on the other hand, trials come to us how? In the form of khayr, in the form of blessings. We learned that Sulaiman alayhi salam, he was given many blessings. Many, many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he received them, he said, هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from the favor of my Lord. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. He is testing me whether I will be grateful or ungrateful. So, in this life, a person is either in a state of happiness, in a state of ease and comfort, or he is in a state of unhappiness, in a state of discomfort, in a state of difficulty. And in both of these states, in both of these situations, a person is being tested. Then what does he do? Does he remember Allah, or does he become hopeless? Does he remember Allah, or does he forget Allah? Does he rely upon Allah, or does he rely upon himself? What does he do? We are being tested. لَتُبْلَغُنَّ, surely you will definitely be tested. And we see that in all of these tests, whether they come through difficulties or they come through ease, through comfort, what is being seen? That is a person grateful or not? Is a person grateful or not? And in the time of difficulty, is a person patient or not? There's a hadith which tells us that amazing is the case of the believer. The case of the believer is amazing. All of his affairs are good. If he is struck by some difficulty, he is patient, and that is good for him. And if he receives some goodness, if he receives some pleasure, some happiness, some enjoyment, then what does he do? He is grateful, and that is also good for him. So amazing is the case of the believer. Why? Because every trial, every difficulty, every test that comes his way, what does he do? He reacts in a way that is appropriate. And hence, he passes the test. So, over here Allah says, لَتُبُلَوُنَّ. Surely you will definitely be tested. How will you be tested? فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. In your wealth and also in yourselves. فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ. أَمْوَالِكُمْ is a plural of مَال. مَال is anything that a person owns, that he possesses, his property. So what is the test that comes to us through our wealth? Remember that the tests that a person experiences, either they come to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or he faces them through people, because of people. So for instance, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's something that is decreed for a person. So for instance, a person has a lot of money, a lot of wealth, and he loses it. He owns something and it gets spoiled. So that is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the people, that a person owns something and another comes and takes it unjustly. So fi amwalikum, in your wealth, what are the different types of tests that people go through when it comes to wealth? First of all, if a person has wealth, if a person owns money, if a person owns some property, and if it is a lot, what happens? That itself becomes a fitna for him. It becomes difficult for him to stay obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remain humble, to remain as a humble slave of Allah, and to be humble towards people as well. إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Similarly, another test is that when a person has wealth, then there are duties that are imposed upon him with regards to that wealth. So for instance, if a person has money, he is obligated to give zakat upon it. Similarly, he is to spend it on those people who are under him. He is supposed to spend it on those people who are needy. Similarly, he can afford to go for Hajj, so he has to spend on Hajj. That is also a test. A person loves his money. He doesn't want to spend it. He wants to enjoy it. But he is told, spend for Hajj. Give zakat. Don't keep every penny just for yourself. Spend it on the poor and needy as well. That is a test. Another test is that, for instance, a person owns something, and what happens? He loses it. He loses it. Or the thing that he owns, it gets spoiled. It breaks. It gets lost. Or it is taken unjustly by another person. All of these are what? Tests. And remember, mal is not just money. It's everything that a person owns. Everything that a person possesses. So it is your clothes. It is your house. It is your furniture. It is your books. Every single thing that you own, that is your property, is what? Your mal. So لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ. You will definitely be tested in your wealth. And you will also be tested how? وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. And also through yourselves. In yourselves you will be tested. أَنفُس is a plural of nafs. And remember, the word nafs applies to the ruh, and it also applies to the ruh and the body together. And the plural form أَنفُس, what does it indicate? Community. لَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You will not expel your own people. Not yourselves, but what does it mean? Your own people. So, وَأَنفُسِكُمْ, what does it mean by this? That you will definitely be tested in yourselves. That first of all, difficulties and trials, calamities that a person faces, that a person experiences in his body. In his body. So for instance, a person suffers from some disease, from some sickness, from some illness, whether it is very minor or it is chronic. What is this? It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. whether it is something very small or something very major. It is a test from Allah. It could be a slight headache, and it could be an extreme illness that could be fatal for a person. What is this? A test from Allah. Similarly, in the body, what else does a person experience? Cuts, wounds, burns, pain, aches. So many things a person faces, a person experiences in his body. A person does something, he puts in some effort in doing something, and he gets tired. He gets fatigued. So what is this? This is also a test. Sometimes you want to do something very badly, but your body does not cooperate. You want to sit up and do your work, but your eyes won't stay open. What is this? A test. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Similarly, a person is tested in his body, in himself. How? Through the obligations of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon a person. So for instance, fasting, praying, going for hajj, all of these are what? They affect the body of a person. They affect a person physically. And when a person is tested in his body, in his self, it's not just the body that suffers pain or difficulty. Sometimes it is also the person's ruh, that spiritually or emotionally or mentally a person is distressed. So for instance, somebody says something very harsh to you, very rude to you, and you cannot forget it. Every time you think of it, tears come to your eyes. So it's not just physical pain and physical hurt, but it's also emotional hurt, mental distress that is caused to a person, that a person goes through. And sometimes it is because of the rudeness of other people, and sometimes it is because of the circumstances that a person is in. A person is in a financial difficulty, obviously he's going to be concerned. He's going to be distressed. And it's going to mentally affect him. It's going to mentally burden him. All of these are what? Tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over here Allah says, تَلَّتُبْلَغُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. This will definitely happen. And this will continue. You will be tested. One thing after the other. Each day will bring new tests for you, new trials for you. And these trials will keep changing, because nothing in life is permanent. One day you're going through a difficulty and you think, that's the end of your life. That's the end of everything. But it's not the end of everything. You wake up the next day and things are different. You walk out of the house and things are completely different. So nothing in this life stays permanent. No difficulty, no test is permanent. It changes. So while a person is being tested, he should not become hopeless. But rather he should remember that I am being tested, and I should do what is appropriate, what my Rabb wants from me. We learned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 155, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger. You will go through fear, you will experience hunger. And you will experience what else? A loss of wealth and lives and fruit, things that you enjoy. You will experience all of these things. Why? Because this life is a test. This life is not Darul Jaza. This life is not the home of reward and recompense. No. It's a home where a person is being tested. It's a place where a person is being examined. What does he do? How does he react? And based on his reactions, based on what he does, he will be rewarded accordingly in the hereafter. So we see that the tests that a person goes through, we can basically divide them in two. First of all, the tests that are in worldly matters, in worldly affairs, such as illness, death, amwalikum wa anfusikum, through one's wealth, everyday matters. One person dies, a relative has become very sick. All of these are what? Tests, or a person himself is very distraught. So one is with regards to worldly affairs. And the second type of test that a person experiences are with regards to religious matters, in his deen. In his deen also, a person experiences difficulties. What kind of difficulties? Some of them we looked earlier. في أموالكم وأنفسكم, in your wealth and also in yourself, through the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon a person, that he has to give zakat, that he has to pray. And especially, what kind of difficulties does a person face because of his deen? That is mentioned in the next part of the ayah. And what is that? وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. That surely you will definitely hear. تَسْمَعُنَّ from the root letter سِين مِمْ عَيْن. سَمْ. What does سَمْ mean? To hear. So surely you will definitely hear, O believers, from who? From those people who were given the book before you. Who are they? The Jews and the Christians. Who else will you hear from? وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And from those people who do shirk, the polytheists. So for instance, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the mushrikeen of Arabia, amongst whom were the Quraysh. So you will definitely hear from the people of the book, as well as the polytheists, from the mushrikeen. What are you going to hear from them? Good things? No. You're going to hear from them, أَذًا كَثِيرًا, much hurt. The word adha, as you know, is pain or suffering that is experienced by any living being, any living creature. So you will hear from them, adhan kathira, meaning you will hear from them many hurtful statements. Such words, such comments, such remarks that will hurt you. You will get hurt by them. Why? Because either they are very rude words, or they are insults against you, against your religion, against Allah, against your messenger. And all of these statements, all of these remarks, they're going to hurt you. For instance, we learn in Surah Safat, Ayah 36, the mushrikeen, they would say, أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُ أَلِهَتِنَا لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. They would say that should we leave our gods, all of our gods, all of these idols, should we leave them, should we abandon them for a person who is sha'ir and majnoon? For a person who is a poet and a madman? So, they said such statements which would hurt the Prophet ﷺ. And this was not just limited to that time. It even happens today. That a person hears such statements, such comments, such remarks, such accusations, slander, false statements against the deen, against Allah, against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which a person when he hears, he cannot tolerate them. These statements, they hurt the believer. Adhan kathira, much hurt. And notice kathira has been used. Why? That many times and of various types. At one time, they will say something against you that will hurt you. At another time, they will say something against your Prophet that's going to hurt you. At another time, they're going to say something against your religion, your practices, your law, and they're going to hurt you. Sometimes about your culture. أَذَنْ كَثِيرًا. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا. What should you do? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا. And if you are patient. وَتَتَّقُوا. And you all adopt taqwa. You fear Allah. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Then indeed, that is of those matters that require determination. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. تَصْبِرُوا is from the root letters. صَدْبَرَ. صَبْر. And what does sabr mean? Habsun nafs. To control oneself. It is self-control. But what does it mean? To control oneself from what? From anything that would upset Allah. Anything that would make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry with a person. So it is to control one's tongue from saying something that would upset Allah. It is to control one's heart from thinking, from feeling something that would upset Allah. It is to control one's jawarih, one's limbs, from doing something that would upset Allah. That is what sabr is. That in the most difficult times, what does a person remember? What would my Rabb want? What does my Rabb approve of? Not what I want to do, not how I want to react, not how I want to show my frustration and my anger and my disapproval. No. It's about what my Rabb would want me to do. That is what sabr is. And remember that sabr is of three types as well. It is of three types. That first of all, that a person does sabr on the ta'ah of Allah, on obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, what does sabr include? To have sabr against, meaning to stay away from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from ma'asiyah. And thirdly, over the qada and qadr, over the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. such decree, such decisions of Allah, that may bring difficulty to a person. That may be difficult for a person to bear, to experience. So, إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, if you are patient, when? Over what? When and over what? Tell me, what are the two things mentioned over here? The bala, first of all, the tests and trials that you will definitely experience, and secondly, what you hear from the disbelievers. What you hear from the disbelievers. If you are patient on these two things, throughout these bala and over the adha of the people, وَتَتَّقُوا, and you fear Allah. What does taqwa mean? Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes a person to doing that which is acceptable to Allah and staying away from that which is not acceptable to Allah. And remember that taqwa, sometimes it gives a meaning of staying away from the maharim, staying away from the forbidden acts. So, إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, meaning you fear Allah and do not disobey Him even in these circumstances. Because many times what happens, if we are going through a difficulty, we think we have the right to complain. We think we have the right to shout at other people. Right? This is what we think. Right? Is it so? If we're too tired, then we have the right to delay our salah, not pray our salah with khushur. This is what we think. What does Allah say? You will definitely go through tests. Each day there will be a different test. If you wait for a time that is going to be free of test, that's not going to come in this dunya. So throughout these tests and trials, what do you have to do? Sabr and taqwa. Do what you're supposed to do. Have sabr. Don't stop. Don't fail. And secondly, tattaqu. Stay away from everything that would upset Allah. Don't disobey Allah in any way. And sometimes, when we're going through difficulty, we think that we have the right to be rude to people as well. We can shout at them, we can scream at them, we can yell at them, we can show our frustration to them. And later on we can say, I'm really sorry, I was really upset about something, I shouted at you. It happens, right? What does Allah say? Go ahead and shout and vent? No. Tattaqu, fear Allah. Don't transgress even against the people. Don't transgress the bounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, throughout these tests, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ, then indeed that. What does that refer to? Sabr and taqwa throughout these difficulties. That is مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. The word azm, as you know, is used for determination, for firm will, for a decision that a person has made, and he is determined to follow it through. And عَزَمَ الْأَمْرِ, it means when something has become mandatory and incumbent, meaning when something has become necessary, it must be done. It must be done. It is wajib. So basically, azm gives us two meanings. First of all, firm resolution. And secondly, when something is mandatory, when something is incumbent, it must be done. And al-umur, as you know, is a plural of amr, which is affair, matter. It also means command over here, matter. So, azm al-umur, what does it mean by this? This has been understood in two ways. That first of all, it is one of those things, it is one of those actions regarding which one must have firm resolution. One must have firm resolve. Otherwise, he cannot do it. If a person does not have azm, if a person does not have determination to have sabr, to have taqwa, to do that which is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in these situations. If a person does not have sabr and taqwa, then he will not be able to go through these tests and trials successfully. These situations, they are such that you need firm determination. You need firm resolve. Otherwise, you cannot go through. Otherwise, you cannot be successful. And secondly, this has been understood as that it is of those matters which have been made incumbent on you, which have been made wajib upon you, mandatory upon you. What has been made mandatory upon you? Sabr and taqwa. Without that, you cannot survive. And why have these two things been made mandatory upon you? Because they are the right things to do. That is the right course of action at a time of difficulty. Because if a person does not accept a difficulty and he says, no, I don't accept it. I don't want to go through this. This is too difficult. Is it going to change anything? No. What's going to help him? Sabr. Similarly, if a person does not have taqwa And because he is frustrated, he shows his frustration to other people, and he does zulm on them. Is that going to solve anything? No, it's only going to increase the problem. It's only going to make the problem much worse. So, it is of those things which have been made mandatory upon you. Why? Because this is the right thing to do. Without this, you cannot be successful. So what do we learn from this ayah? That a person will definitely face difficulties in his life. How? In his wealth, and also وَأَنفُسِكُمْ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. A person will definitely face trials coming his way from his own self, from his own body, from the situations and the circumstances that he's in. Sometimes his health, sometimes his money, sometimes a person's property, sometimes a person's family, sometimes a person's children, sometimes a person's relatives, near and distant. A person does face problems. A person does face difficulties coming to him through them. So, a person faces difficulties in his personal life at an individual level, and the believers, they also face difficulties at a collective level. So the believer, what does he go through? Tests in his personal life at an individual level, and tests and trials at a collective level, as a community. The believers will face difficulties. The believers will face trials. So in all of these situations, what is the solution? What is the solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us over here? Sabr and taqwa. A person might say, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this? Wouldn't it be easy if there were no tests? No, life is a test. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, it's His mercy. And He's telling us about what we should do in order to be successful. He's giving us a solution. This is what we need in order to go through these difficult times with ease. What are the two things? First of all, sabr. And what is sabr, as we discussed? That it is the restraint of the heart, the tongue, and the limbs from what angers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with his tongue, a person does not utter anything that would displease him. Because sometimes, in a difficult situation, when you, for instance, a friend of yours says something negative to you, what is sabr at that time? What is sabr at that time? Control your tongue. Don't shout back. Don't say 10 harsh words in response. Calm down, relax. Say something nice instead. Or if you can't say something nice, then at least stay quiet. Because in many situations, remaining quiet, staying quiet, is actually the solution. Because sometimes we say, no, I'm going to speak very calmly. And you decide you're going to go there, you're going to speak in a very calm manner, but what happens? They become rude and very offensive, and you cannot take it then. And then you retaliate. You try to take revenge. You try to show that even you have a tongue, even you can say something. And in that process, what happens? A person does not do sabr. What does Allah say? Sabr. Sabr is the solution. We learn from a hadith that Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, he narrated that once a man, he was saying some bad things to Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed wonder and he smiled. So the person, what is he doing? He's saying really harsh and rude things to Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting there and he's only smiling. He's not saying anything. And Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, he was quiet. The man continued. He went on and on. And after he had said much more, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu retorted with some of the same, which caused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get up and leave from there with an angry expression on his face. Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, he came after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, this person badmouthed me while you were sitting there. Why did you become upset and leave when I answered back to some of what he had said? I mean, I was justified. He was saying so many harsh things to me. I was justified in responding to him, in retaliating, in taking revenge. So why did you become upset and leave? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you had an angel retorting on your behalf when you were silent. But when you began answering him back, shaitan arrived. And I was not going to sit in the presence of shaitan. I was not going to sit in the presence of shaitan. So what does it show to us? That sometimes we hear negative things from people. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. And sometimes it is أَنفُسِكُمْ, it is your own people saying negative and harsh and rude things to you. What do you want to do? Answer back. Take revenge. What does Allah say? Have some sabr. And in some situations, sabr means just remain silent. Don't say anything. And sometimes, you know, if you're going through a difficult situation, people keep asking you, so how are you doing? How is everything? What should you say? I mean, things are not that great. What should you say? Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And if it's really necessary to inform them about something, then you may, a little bit, only that much which is sufficient. But sometimes people keep asking you, don't keep giving them a whole, you know, detail, a whole update of what happened up until now. Just give them enough details so that they know. Because sometimes we go on to another extreme that we don't tell other people at all, which leads to more difficulties for us. How are they going to make dua for you if they don't know what's going on? How are they going to help you? How are they going to assist you if they don't know what's going on? Yes, a person should expect help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's no harm in telling other people as well. But again, only tell that much which is enough, which is sufficient. So in some situations, silence is most appropriate. May Allah give us that patience. Ameen. Allahumma ja'alni saburan wa ja'alni shakuran. Ameen. So it's possible that a person is being scolded by their parents. So for instance, one of you, maybe, is being shouted at by their mother. And maybe the mother is not justified in saying what she's saying. It's possible that she's not justified in saying what she's saying. And even if she is justified, maybe she's speaking so harshly to you that you can't take it. And not just your mother, it could be your uncle, it could be your aunt, it could be your grandmother, it could be your teacher, it could be anybody who is elderly, whom you are supposed to respect. Now what do you want to do? What do you want to do in this situation? Seriously, what do you want to do? Answer back. Answer back. Or justify yourself. Answer back, or at least justify yourself. But remember, even sometimes when we're justifying ourselves, what happens? We become rude. What does Allah say? فَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't scold them. Don't scold them. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ. Don't even say uff to them. That is a command of Allah. That is the instruction of Allah. So what are you supposed to do? Sabr. What does sabr mean? Just remain silent. Just remain silent. Because if you say even one thing, what's going to happen? It's going to worsen the situation. It's not going to solve the problem. So وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. And taqwa as well. Taqwa is the second solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us over here. That sometimes we face a difficulty from another person, or we hear negative things from them, and what do we want to do? We want to retaliate. One person says rude thing to us, we want to say 10 rude things back to them. But what does Allah say? تَتَّقُوا. Have taqwa of Allah. Don't do anything that is against the commands of Allah. And many times in these situations, a person reacts based on his emotion. Very emotionally. You become very angry. You become very protective about your family or about your religion. Somebody saying harsh things, rude things about your religion. You say, how dare you say something like that about my deen, about my prophet? How can you say that? And what do? We react based on emotion. But if you look at it, taqwa is a state of consciousness. It is a state of alertness of the mind. Taqwa is a state of being alert, not being driven by emotion. What do people generally do? When they hear, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. When they hear أَذًا كَثِيرًا from people of different faiths, what do? React emotionally. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us? Calm down. Use your mind. Make a rational decision and then react. تَتَّقُوا. And remember, before taqwa, you need sabr. That you stop your tongue, you stop your heart, you stop your limbs, or you stop your pen, or you stop your typing on the keyboard, or whatever it is. Somebody saying harsh things to you and you want to write, you know, an email that's going to cut them apart, that's going to rip them apart. What does sabr mean? Control yourself. Don't react with emotion. Stop, calm down, make a rational decision, and then respond.
إن تصبروا وتتقوا. صبر comes first and then comes تقوى. And similarly, taqwa is also important in another way, that when a person does react, when a person does respond, how should he respond? In a way that is within the bounds of taqwa. Meaning, it is approved, that way is approved in the deen. And in the process, a person does not commit any act of disobedience. So for instance, if a person hears that someone is saying negative things about your prophet, and you start saying negative things about their religious leaders, what's going to happen? Back and forth, and it's going to increase. Back and forth, and it's going to increase. Similarly, a person hears false accusations against Islam, false and baseless statements about the Prophet ﷺ, disrespecting him, what should he do? He should calm down, he should compose himself, and he should react in a way that is proper. He should not curse back. He should not insult back, but rather react in a way that is appropriate. So over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us two solutions. إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is of those matters for which you need determination. Because answering back is very easy. Responding emotionally is also very easy. Because when you're boiling with anger, then responses and answers, they come into your head like anything. I can say this and I can say that and I can refute them like this, right? But when you're thinking calmly, then that many ideas don't necessarily come into your head. So over here Allah says, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Why? Because speaking out, yelling, screaming, answering back, it's very easy. But stopping yourself, controlling yourself, and listening the comments of the other person, listening the rude remarks of the other person, the harshness of the other person, for that you need some determination. You really need to control yourself. You really need to hold yourself back, that no, I have to do sabr, I have to have taqwa, I cannot do anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disapproves of. Recitation.
لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ.
So what do you learn from this ayah? Taqwa is to not do anything that is in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you see a munkar and you stop it, you're not disobeying Allah. You're actually obeying Allah. If you see a munkar and you stop it, that's not against taqwa, that's part of taqwa. Because we learned earlier in the surah that you must do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. So if you stop someone from doing munkar, that is part of taqwa, it's not against taqwa. But obviously, this does not mean that if you see a munkar, then you, in stopping that munkar, you do zulm upon the other person. That's not what is meant. And if a person in that process, he does zulm on the other, then that would be against taqwa. You see, sabr in every situation does not mean to remain silent. It doesn't mean to remain silent in every situation. Remember, in some situations, sabr means that you remain silent. And notice that sabr and taqwa both come together. Because when you hear something negative, you immediately want to respond. You immediately want to say something. But what does Allah say? Have some sabr, calm down, and respond with taqwa. Respond with taqwa, with consciousness, with alertness. Because if we respond based on just emotion, then it's possible that we oppress the other, we wrong the other. So sabr and taqwa both go hand in hand. We cannot separate the two. We cannot say that, oh, let them say whatever they're saying and just have sabr and stay quiet. No. Have sabr and also do taqwa. And in some situations, no matter what you do, what happens? The other person, he keeps saying things against you. He keeps coming against you. You retaliate, you respond in a way that is appropriate, in a way of taqwa, in the manner of taqwa. But along with that, don't you need sabr? Of course you do. Sometimes if we're just driven by emotion, then we say things that are inappropriate. For instance, when the delegation of Najran came to Medina, and the Jews of Medina also came to discuss matters of the religion with them. Both of them, the Jews and the Christians, they had an argument in which the Jews began refuting Isa alayhi salam, the Christians began refuting and denying Musa alayhi salam. So sometimes you say something that is wrong. Why? Just because you're being driven by emotion. So when you're going through a difficulty, when you hear adha from the other person, what should you do? Sabr. Stop yourself. Control your tongue. Control your heart. Control your limbs. Control your pen. Control your fingers. And then respond with taqwa. These are the two solutions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And both are necessary. Both go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. And remember that difficulties and trials, they are a part of life. They come your way. They will definitely come. One day, you'll experience a test from somebody from your own house. Another day, you will experience a difficulty coming your way from your friend or from a distant relative, or somebody or the other. There are always going to be tests. What is needed? Sabr and taqwa. Where do you get sabr and taqwa from? How do you develop these two traits in yourself? How do you remind yourself that you have to have sabr and taqwa? If you have a close connection with the Quran. If you have a strong relationship with your Rabb. Because you read the Quran and you read this ayah and you're like, this is the answer that I need. This is the solution to my problem. So, because we forget, what is needed is that we have a strong connection with the Quran, we stay connected with it, and we also have a strong relationship with our Rabb. As we learned early in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help, how? Through sabr and also through salah. Sabr has been mentioned so many times. We have read about it so many times in Surah Al-Baqarah and also in this surah, Surah Ali Imran. And the previous ayah, we learned that فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That is a person who is successful. Who? The person who is saved from the hellfire and enters Jannah. He is successful. And when does a person enter Jannah? When he proves himself worthy. And how does a person prove himself worthy? When he goes through the tests of life and he goes through them with sabr and taqwa. That is what makes a person worthy of entry into paradise. And sometimes doing sabr is difficult for us. Why? Because we fear people more and we fear Allah less. We want to say something, because if we don't say something, we're going to appear to be very small. And we want to show that we're very great. But what does Allah say? Have sabr and have taqwa. Again, if a person has a strong connection with the Quran throughout his life, not just for a year or two, but throughout his life, then he will be reminded of what he is supposed to do. Sometimes we want to respond because we think that we will appear smaller. But from the hadith we learn that مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. The one who lowers himself for the sake of Allah, Allah will raise him up. The one who has taqwa, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honorable in the sight of Allah is who? أَتْقَاكُمْ. The one who has most taqwa. So in these situations again, sabr and taqwa are necessary. And we will only have them if we don't fear people. And if we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you want to sleep and you force yourself to stay awake. Sabr and taqwa. And sometimes it is bad habits because of which we cannot stay awake, because of which we don't have much strength. We don't eat properly, we don't sleep properly. So they affect us. We don't have a good schedule, we don't have a good routine. So over that also you need to do sabr. That no, even if I want to stay awake at 1 o'clock just chatting online or just researching online uselessly, what is sabr? That no, I have to go to sleep so that I can wake up for fajr and I can go to school tomorrow and stay awake in class. So sabr and taqwa are both important. Sabr is like a life jacket that saves you from drowning, from going low in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.